إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue in the series of Fajr reminders with regard to challenges of parenting in the 21st century. Yesterday, I spoke to you about the challenge of being inspirational. What is it about you that inspires your child? And that's the question to ask. Today, we look at another aspect. In applied behavioral science, we talk about something called relatedness. Relatedness is different from relationship. Relationship is static, it remains. The father is always the father, son is always the son. The son does not become the father no matter how old he becomes, and so on and so forth. So, relationship is static. But relatedness is not static. Relatedness is dynamic. And relatedness refers to the ways in which we relate to our children and the ways in which the children relate to us as they grow. So, for example, very young children, at the time they start getting some shuur, some sensibility, the relationship at that time is a relationship of pure survival, nothing else. The child needs you because without you the child will die, quite simple. The child needs you for everything, needs to be cleaned, needs to be fed, needs to be put to sleep and woken up and clothes changing and everything. So 100% reliance on the parents, and so the child is completely and totally dependent for survival on the parents. So at that time the relationship in infancy is a relationship of survival. Then as the child grows older and starts very early, even at the time the child is a year old or 2 years old, the relationship need changes. The need is not only survival, the need is also happiness. The infant is not thinking about happy or unhappy. As long as he's got food in the belly, he's fine. But when they grow up a little bit older, then there is other things. So they have to be kept engaged and some form of entertainment and this and that. So that is where generally most parents start substituting themselves with the television. So I've seen case after case after case where a little child who is a year old or something is plunked in front of the television, they put on some cartoon, and the parents are relieved of this burden, right? I always say that if you really wanted to be relieved of the burden, it was a simpler thing before you had the child. It would have been also cheaper to do it, because what you need to buy at that time costs less than a TV set. So therefore, the point is that it would have been cheaper and better for the child instead of buying a TV set later on. So the issue there is substitution. So the child's need for it. Then as the child grows older, again the relationship need changes. And that need now is more of knowledge. So you will find little children, for everything, they will come running to you and they will ask some question. Right? They will come to the father, come to the mother, they will ask some question. Also this phase they go through, especially the 2 years old and 3 years old, well, they ask why, for everything, why? Why this, why? The reaction of a lot of parents is irritation. I know it's not, you know, if somebody asks you why 500 times, it's not particularly, one way of looking at it is that it's not particularly encouraging. Another way of looking at it is that here is this child challenging you constantly to think of why. So why must I do this? Why this? Why this? Why this? Why this? Continuously, why? Now we get tired of that because we've got all kinds of other things on our mind. So we get tired of that, we start getting irritated. So we chase the child away. We send the child asks the father, father says go ask the mother. Mother says go ask the father. Child is confused. I just asked the father. He doesn't have an answer. So what do I do? I went to mom. I thought mom will have an answer. Mom also doesn't have an answer. Send me back to the father. He already doesn't have an answer. What do I do now? Now this process continues until they come to school. And when they come to school, the parents have a solution, and that solution is dump them in the school, and as far as I am concerned, my responsibility is over for that 8 hours or whatever it is. Right? This is the attitude of most parents with regard to children and school. I put them in school, my job is over. So now you made this child, psychologically you gave the child the impression that I really don't have answers. I really don't know what you should do with your life. So go ask the teacher. Now, as you know, in most schools, you've got 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, God knows how many children in the class. The teacher is certainly not the parent. If you are not interested in your own child, you expect the teacher to be interested in your child more than you are interested. That is fantasy. That's a pipe dream. And that is where the generation gap begins much early, but it widens and widens and widens. Now, in the process, the child's need for knowledge does not decrease. The need for knowledge is still there. The child still needs answers. Where does he go? In today's world, plenty of places. Believe me, I mean, there is no shortage of places to find answers. The answers they find are not necessarily the answers that you want them to find. The answers that you find, that they will find, are not necessarily answers that they are good for them, but they will find the answers. So whether the answers are with their own friends, whether the answers are with public figures, whether the answers are with Google or, you know, whatever, they will have answers. For every single thing, there is an answer. And not one answer, there are multiple answers. And at the same time, the children are nobody by birth is trained to sift through information and come up with, critical analysis is not it's not in the genes. You have to learn it. And if you never taught them, they have no critical way of analyzing. I'm getting five answers. Now, which one is the right one? I have no idea. I've got no idea which one is the right one. But they will find. They will pick something. What do I do? How many times have you or I heard this question when you ask, when you're talking about career counseling, you ask somebody, you want to be an engineer, why? The standard answer, lots of children have told me this, because all my friends are going to engineering college. I mean, that is about the worst reason to do something. You know, all my friends are doing it. What kind of nonsense is that? I mean, you have no life of your own, you have no desire of your own. You are going to engineering because my friends are going. Is that a reason to study? That's completely insane. But the point is that you have not given that child any parameter of decision making. So he does whatever everyone is doing. He's a sheep. He becomes a sheep. Now all the sheep are going there, so I'm also going. I'm also a sheep. But that parameter to give is our job. Gap increases. Then also what happens now at this stage, now you are talking about teens, you are talking about 20s. Now they are no longer children. I mean, they stopped being children a long time ago, but I mean, maybe you woke up to it now. But they are not children, they are young adults, they are confident and so on and so forth. And you taught them from the time they were about 1 year old that they don't really need you. That if they need you, in any case, you can't provide them answers, you can't give them what they need. So that lesson is reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. At some point in time, they still know they need you because they need money and you are the guy with the money. But after a while, they get a job, they are earning, they really don't even need you for the money because that money they are getting on their own. And that is where we end up with a situation which we are seeing all around us. At my age now, we see this more and more, which is parents who are, within quotes, abandoned. They may be living in the same house, but effectively they are abandoned. There is zero communication between the parents and the children and the grandchildren. Absolutely no communication. The mother is there, the father is there, the grandfather, grandmother are there. That's it. There is no meaningful communication. There is no nothing exchange, nothing. Time for food, go eat food and so on and so forth. So you are like an old dog who's been put out to sit. I mean, sometime you were useful. Nobody shooting in the head, but at the same time, that's what your position is, an old dog in the house. Some cases it's even worse because the children have gone off, they are living in other countries, in careers and so on. So you send some money, your parents are here in your home country and they are on their own, and the children feel, well, you know, they have a house, they have servants and so on, and they've got a car and a driver, what more do they want? Now this is the situation that we are seeing, and you know this and I know this, we are seeing this all around us. How many of people in our own families are like this? Or elderly people in their 80s, sometimes even in their 90s, who are living alone. I know people in our family, 90s, alone. Nobody took after them. And they have children. They have children. They have children who are well-to-do. They are wealthy, everything. Zero relatedness. Absolutely no connection. It's just genetic. One day this woman, was my mother. I was born from her. That's it. Talas. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. And this is the issue of relatedness. Relatedness is the challenge. to continue to relate with the child as the child grows and goes from stage to stage to stage. And the challenge is to be related in ways where the child will always need you. And for that is the big challenge for you as a parent to say, how can I keep on upgrading myself? It's not simply enough to, you know, bring forth the child. After that, what do? The child has survival needs that most parents will do. That one does not need any, I mean, you don't need to encourage the mother to feed the child, so that's fine. That, but once they go beyond the survival needs, what are their real needs? When they come to you asking for answers, remember, it's not about that answer. It's not about why is the bird black? Why is it not white? It's about relating with you and saying, my father has the answer, mother has the answers. So you have to do your own study. You have to do your own, reflection and thinking and so on, and keep on providing that. As the child grows older, what are their needs? How can I continue to be related to the child? Related not in genetic terms, that is always there. Related in terms intellectually, spiritually, and this is where connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connecting with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of these become such critical and important things. Because the child is going through, that is the journey where you can actually lead them. Other journeys you can't lead them, because as far as technology and so on is concerned, technology they have in their lives, we never had in our lives, so we don't even know what the challenge is. Right? For example, in my life, when I was in my teens, there was no television. There was no television. There was no football, and the cricket was a game which was played for 5 days, and at the end of 5 days, there was no result. So, you know, it was hardly exciting. So, I never had to deal with 2020s and limited overs and ODIs and whatnot. So, if I can't say it never attracted me, it wasn't even there. Maybe it still wouldn't have attracted me, because I was far more interested in horses and hunting. But my point is, that's a different thing. But even if it was there, but I really don't, if you ask me, what does it feel? I have no clue. I never had that challenge with me, alhamdulillah. But today's children, they have that challenge. So the guy is going through that. So if he says, I can't wake up because I'm watching this match, now I may not understand how is it possible to watch a match and you can't wake up for Fajr, but that's his reality. So you still have to empathize with him, you still have to, you know, help him out of this mess. I mean, just hammering him on the head doesn't help. So the whole issue is, how do we continue to remain related with our children throughout their entire life till the end of our days? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create you as a parent only at the time of birth. You are a parent till the day you die. How do you remain a parent? Till the day you die. That's the reason why some parents deal with it in another way. They will come to the Maulana, they will come to the Sheikh, and they say, please tell my children, they have to obey me. They tell the children what are the rights of the parents. My point is, when you get to that point, it's already too late. It is already too late. Because if somebody else has to teach your children what your rights are, it means that you failed your job big time. Big, big, big time. Why does someone else have to tell your children what are the rights, what are your rights as a parent? It means that you did not do your job. As simple as that. So seriously, I remind myself and you, let us reflect and let us think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us children. Children are supposed to be a ni'mah. Don't convert them into a curse. Children are supposed to be sadqatu jariyah. Don't make that into azabul jariyah for yourself. And believe me, it's all entirely 100% in your hands. Because when that child is born, that child is 9 inches high, 9 inches long. That child has no will. That child has absolutely nothing. It's your job. You, the child, becomes what you want to make it. You are the one who scripts the destiny of that child. So be very clear, what are you writing in that destiny? Allah gave you that power. Don't misuse it, because it comes back home to bite. And that's very, very important. Continue to be related to the children throughout their lives. And that's a challenge for you, for which you have to free up some time, for which you have to do some study, for which you have to make an effort. It is not going to happen automatically, and this is something that you cannot buy. No matter how much money you have, you can't buy relatedness. Children of wealthy parents are as unrelated and as distant as children of poor parents. Makes no difference. As a matter of fact, wealthy parents have a bigger problem. That money helps to become further more and more disconnected with the parents. So it's the money. Don't turn the wealth that Allah has given you into a curse for yourself. Make the wealth as a means of benefit for you and your children. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed you with children, to bless you with children who are a means of khair for you in this dunya wal akhirah, and to bless you with children who continue to respect you, who continue to be related to you, and to enable you to be related to them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.